And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another edition of Voices from the Grid. Thankfully, we are not forced to be in pink again.
There is nothing wrong with being pink. I was pink for all of season one. Thank you very much.
There is nothing wrong with being in pink. I have some pink clothes myself, good sir. But there's a difference between wanting to wear pink and being forced to wear pink because somebody's machine decided to go kaplooey on us.
Look, all I'm saying is there's nothing wrong. Though there is such a thing as too much pink energy.
Oh, yeah.
As we have found out.
Yes. There's definitely too much pink energy. But I am the White Ranger, Michael. And he is the Black Ranger, Mr. Ben Taylor.
Yeah, it's me, your boy, Ben Taylor. I have been, in my time, described as a sex symbol.
What kind?
A question mark.
That is quite fantastic. I mean, if you want to be the Riddler, be my guest. I mean,
no, it's more like, he's a sex symbol? In case you haven't got it by this point in the season, my whole thing this season is just making fun of myself in my intros. There's no Adam Park timings. There's no...
Well, that's because they really just kind of crapped on Adam Park this season.
Yeah.
Can't do much when you don't have a lot of them.
Yeah. I mean, true. So, we've got three episodes to record. Reader's Peter.
Another Brick in the Wall.
And Chimp in Charge?
Yes.
Or A Chimp in Charge, I think it's called.
A Chimp in Charge, yes. And another Brick in the Wall because we want to steal from Pink Floyd.
All I want to do, I love that song. It's all, like, I would rather listen to that song than watch that episode. And you'll know why when we get to my notes about that episode.
But we'll begin with Read as Peter.
Yeah, aka some firsts. Because we had a lot of lasts before, and now we have some firsts.
Yep. We actually begin the episode at the youth center
Before the actual episode begins, I do want to give Power Rangers some credit because they did a really cool thing by the opening title sequence basically being a recap of Cat becoming the Pink Ranger from her introduction to Kimberly's departure to her taking the power coin. Instead of the usual images you see in the intro, they did like a previously on Power Rangers without doing a previously on Power Rangers. It was really cool.
Yeah, because like they show like Kim just like handing off the coin.
And you see her like morphing out of the cat, and you see like it, you see the cat monster, and it's a really cool thing they should have done more often.
Yeah. We do begin at the youth center. Tommy is sparring and teaching a student. And we got Aisha and Rocky admiring Tommy's love of teaching. I think that's the real foreshadowing right there. So,
I literally wrote, the moment Aisha mentions positive role model, you know this episode is going to be at Tommy's Rocky just wants to have fun.
That is very true, though.
It is Tommy's Rocky wants to have fun.
It really is true, except for Tommy wants to have fun. Tommy wants to get fat.
Tommy wants to eat.
Yeah, he just wants to stop.
Tommy needs him a burger.
Obviously the lessons is that you want, you know, Tommy is teaching the student, you know, you gotta. You know, he gives an order to Ernie, and the kid's like, oh, I want a burger and this. And Tommy's like, whoa, you got to think about what you put in your body. You know, you want positivity. You want to eat healthy and stuff like that. And
I have two notes about this, right?
Yeah.
One, has Tommy seen this kid? He's made out of bean poles. That kid needs a burger.
That kid is me. Okay.
Also, two, Tommy has apparently never heard of cheat day.
Like that kid is me, okay? I'm the twig, you know? But then we have this interesting thing where, like, Rita and Zed are plotting or something like that.
Rita calls Tommy Mr. Perfect.
Yes.
And at that instant, I just wanted to see Kurt Hennig in a morpher. That's a wrestling joke.
You know what? We might need to get that Photoshop now.
Yeah.
But one interesting thing is that this is also kind of a little bit foreshadowing here, because in a way, Goldar kind of changes his tune a little bit on Rita. And it's kind of like an interesting, because up to this point, Goldar has been dead set against Rita. And, you know, so it's like, this is kind of a beginning of like a changing of his, like, he doesn't just jump into it like how we've seen other things and stuff like
that. Warming up to her.
Yeah, it's like a warming up. It's a, like, it's really lukewarm at the moment time. So it's kind of an interesting thing to kind of start watching moving forward, especially what we know happens in Zeo with Goldar. Bulk and Skull back at the youth center, they order some food, and Skull orders a devastating
small
meal.
Side note, right?
Yeah,
I noted this when we're talking about Rita. I love the double meaning of the episode title, because not only does it refer to the pita bread that
Tommy orders,
Tommy eats, pita is also an acronym for pain in the ass.
Ah, that's funny.
And the episode is like, Rito has a couple of ideas. That's
yeah, but Skull.
And I did point. Sorry, no. My note was specifically, I love the double meaning, however unintentional, of the title.
going back to the youth center, Skull orders a devastating meal.
Yeah,
like this meal, like one. It could probably feed all four of us on the show. It could definitely do that. Maybe we can bring in a couple extra friends just to try to finish the damn thing off. But, like, man, you look at that thing and you go, yeah, how is he not going to be running to the toilet within 20 minutes?
Well, they don't think about that a lot in Power Rangers. Also, again, Tommy's like, see, that's an example of what you don't want to do to your body. Again, Skull is made of bean poles. Home Slice needs a burger.
And then we go back to the palace. Rita is plotting to put a monster in Tommy. Kat hears Rita's plan because of the residual effects
left over from the spell right?
And stuff like that, which is kind of a neat little thing to happen, because like, we never really had that with Tommy when the spell was broken on him from when he first came in. Like,
well, there was a different kind of spell, wasn't it?
Yeah,
like, this was actually an enchantment on the person. With Tommy, what was making him evil was actually the sword, right?
Yeah. But it still made him suspect to being to be put under the control at later times.
Yeah.
So you still had that, but like, never anything to the level of right here with Kat, where she actually is hearing Rita plotting on what she's going to do to the Rangers.
And she doesn't have time to report on it because the Tengus show up and she morphs into her ninja form for the first time, which I'd like to point out was orange in the morph sequence.
Whoopsies. She's the Orange Ranger. But Macat hears the plan. She does her first morph and fight. And giddy too, doing the fight. Like, Cat is just so giddy.
Another thing, like, before she morphs, she's like, oh no, not these overgrown emus again. Point of fact, if they were emus, they wouldn't be overgrown. The average emu is about the size of a human.
I mean, has anyone ever seen those Doug and Emu commercials on TV?
Emu.
But it was kind of cool seeing Kat get her first morph. It's actually always...
It was a bit confusing, though, right? Because right at the beginning, she's fighting like she can't control her powers. She doesn't know how to use her powers. But when the other Rangers all got their powers initially. They knew instantly how to use them. Like, there was very much knowledge transference, right? Like, they instantly knew how to do things. Like, Billy instantly became a martial arts master the moment he became a Power Ranger, right?
Yeah.
The moment he morphed for the first time. And here, Cat morphs, but she's all like, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? And then she just starts doing powers. And she's like, this is brilliant. Fantastic.
How funny would it be? Like, they'll probably never admit this, but how funny would it be if, because of Kat stealing the power coin, even though, yes, Kat or Kim did eventually hand over the coin to her officially.
Yeah.
The power coin was like, now we're going to mess with you a little bit just because you stole me first.
Right, we're gonna
earn the good gracious, but you're gonna earn this one.
But no, but she's actually using the powers, right? And then like later on, she's like, "Oh, I know how to do these powers," and I'm like, "That's not how the established Mighty Morphin lore is, right?"
I'm telling you, that power coin is messing with her
because, like, the first time all the others got the ninja powers. Not in the movie, they instantly knew how to use the ninja powers, right? And the moment they've got the Power Ranger powers, they instantly knew how to use their Power Ranger powers and pilot their swords and all that kind of thing. And Kat doesn't get that. And again, it would be funny if the power coin was messing with her a bit, be like, but that's clearly not the case.
Yes.
So it was very, very confusing for me.
But in our own headcanon, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. But again, like, coming to this for the first time as an adult, I value continuity.
Yeah.
Especially given all the continuity that has run through season 3 at this point, right? So I just wanted a bit more of that.
Yeah. Back at the youth center, Rita sends down a shrunk monster.
The Ravenator, I believe.
Ravenator. And is able to sneak him into Tommy's sandwich, to which then Tommy eats him. That sounded wrong. But and then Tommy starts eating everything as a result of the Ravenator being in his stomach.
Yeah.
And one of the greatest, like, I love that, like, when he just takes the big plate of food from Skull, and Skull just looks all sad, and his students just looking at him, like, all disgusted.
And then, like, his students, like, but you told me something, and he's like, you shouldn't listen to what I said. And I'm like, the monster making Tommy hungry shouldn't have changed the way he thought about food, right? He should have been like, why am I eating this? Why can't I stop eating? Right?
Yeah. Or maybe it's just part of the spell of having the monster in
him. No, because later he's like, that's why I can't stop eating junk food. So he knows it's junk food. That's what I'm saying. It's like, here he's like, oh, forget, just eat whatever you want. And then later he's like, this is junk food. I shouldn't be eating this.
I think maybe, I don't know. It's really hard.
And that's before the Rangers try and break him of the spell. So it's like, there's no internal consistency in the story here. Again, I know I'm asking too much of a Power Rangers episode, but I'm watching this as a 43-year-old man.
Yeah. But then, yeah, obviously a little later on, the Rangers learn that a monster is in Tommy's stomach.
There's an interesting thing here with Zordon, right? For some reason, Zordon is okay with some name contractions, but not okay with others. Like, he'll use Billy, which is short for William. He'll use Tommy, which is short for Thomas, right? But he didn't call her Kim. He called her Kimberly. He called him Zachary. He didn't call him Zach, right? And here, for the one and only time, he calls Catherine Cat. For every other time he speaks, he calls her Catherine. And I want to know what Zordon's rules are. Because, like, why are you okay with some contractions but not others?
That's a good question. We'll never know. Maybe we can ask David Fielding or something like that. I mean, he did the original voice.
Next time we go to Power Morphicon, you'll just be like, yo, what's up with this, yo?
What up with this? But probably by the time this episode airs, we'll probably be getting prepped to go out to California for it. Yeah. You know, but
because we are clattering in towards the end of season three, or at least the beginning of Alien Rangers, right? We're like,
we're getting there. But the Rangers come up with a plan to lure the monster out of Tommy, which is pretty much Tommy using his sheer force of will to.
Let's talk about first the bake sale, right?
Oh, that's right.
Because for some reason, the Junior Police Patrol are holding a bake sale in a high school on a weekend, or maybe it's summer holidays, as will come up when we get to Chimp in Charge.
Shoulder shrug.
Yeah. And apparently there are adults in the high school.
Shoulder shrug. I mean, I understand that, like, sometimes, like, there will be bake sales during the school year, and you would hold them at the school, and sometimes you would hold them
in the parking lot.
Parking lot, yes, but I've also seen them do it in the actual cafeteria of the schools before. But,
like, if you want parents and stuff, you hold it in the parking lot.
Yeah. Although I have legitimately seen school bake sales be held in the school cafeteria because they would set it up in a food area setting.
Yeah.
So it would be a place that they're okay with food being.
Yeah.
Like, you wouldn't see it in a gymnasium, but cafeteria would make a lot more sense. But I have technically seen that.
Don't tend to see, like, a police force holding a bake sale in the school.
Like, I've never seen a police force one. I just seen a school bake sale. But also, you don't see the bake sale just middle of the walkways in the hallway.
Blocking a fire exit, I would like
exactly. to point out. Of all things. Fire Marshal Aisha would like to have a word with you.
Yes.
If she's still
Fire Marshal Aisha is going to come at you like a spider monkey.
But anyways, through Tommy's surefire will, he resists the urge to eat food that's in front of him.
They're like, how do we get the monster out of Tommy? And I think it's either Aisha or Kat that goes, I've got an idea. And they run over to this ice cream van. And they're like, we need you to make the biggest sundae that you can make. And it is a comically big sundae. It would have cost them hundreds of dollars. Including, I would like to point out that apparently ice cream vans in Angel Grove carry overly sized prop strawberries the side of a teenager's head.
But, hey, man, you got to lure that monster, man.
That's true.
but it works. It works. And the monster is mad. Rangers then morph into action to fight the monster. Because this is also a monster.
They literally turn their back on the monster to morph. He's just stood there, and they all turn to face the camera.
But one of the interesting things is that I think Zordon had also mentioned that Tommy morphing would not help get rid of the monster. It'd actually probably make it worse.
No, what he said is he can't bring Tommy to the command center.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
While the monster's inside him, because that would allow the monster access to the command center.
Yeah, that's what it was, yeah. But so it's like, that's perfect planning by Rita. There's like, yes, we can do this. And Zordon's like, nah, you ain't doing that. Not a mind. Access denied. And the Rangers morph into action to fight the monster, which honestly, the monster should just start attacking them. Like, how great would it have been? You see the morph sequence go on, and like they get to the third Ranger, and you just see
he's already been eaten.
No. Like, you just see the monster just coming to clock him in the back of the head.
Well, the thing is the morph sequence doesn't actually happen in real life, right?
Yeah.
The morphing call happens in real life. The morphing sequence just kind of it's for our benefit, right?
But the thing is, though, is that like, but that's the thing. When they're doing the call, like, you get to the third Ranger, you have like maybe Adam going like Black Ranger, and next thing you know, the monster just comes in, pops him in the back of the head.
The monster tries to bop him in the head, and Adam's like, greatest Ranger of all time. Pick on Rocky. And then he does.
but you see what I'm saying? He turns your back to the monster, and the monster actually interrupts half the team from actually morphing. How great would that have been? I think
that would be kind of funny.
It's like, it would have made so much sense to do.
So they morph, right?
Yeah.
And instantly they make the monster grow. So my timings for this episode, because as I said before, I'm doing my best to track how long, or not, as it is, the Rangers are in the Zords. Right, so the Zords were called at 1546 with a full sequence to, and here's bringing back an old favorite, pad the runtime. The Megazord was formed at 16 minutes and 58 seconds, and the Zord fight ends at 17 minutes and 12 seconds. Literally, the only move the Megazord does after it is formed is the finishing move.
Finish him.
It's literally like the Megazord finishes assemble, and the first thing they do is they're like, fire sword, go! And then it's dead. And then my normal final note, which is moral nonsense to end the episode.
Yeah, like, I mean, technically what happens is that Tommy does go up to his student, makes amends to the student, apologizes for, you know, being a dumbass, but we need like a red form and come in here and be like, dumbass, but and that's 70 really,
show crossover.
I'd be for it. I love that 70, well, I love the early seasons of that 70 show, but yeah, that was Rita's Pita.
Yeah. Which what an episode it was.
Yeah, which then brings us to another brick in the wall.
A.K.A. Filler Night. See what I did there?
Yeah. Would have been cooler, though, if you did it in Pink Floyd fashion.
You can't Thriller.
Yeah. But it is another brick in the wall.
Yeah.
Just
another brick in the wall.
And
you can actually do this episode. I'm just gonna go listen to that song.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm not.
So this episode begins with Rita is being disgusted in Kat's transformation to good. Which then leads to Squat Bad.
Because Kat has designed this habitat for humanity, basically, right?
Yeah.
And Adam, when she brings this model out to show the boys, to show Tommy and Adam, because she's trying to recruit a bunch of people to work on it, and Adam like goes, that's cool, did you make that in your architecture class? And I'm like, architecture class in high school? I thought from last episode where the junior police patrol was holding their bake sale in the school was out for the summer. Also, during one of the pink episodes, didn't you say that Kat wasn't starting school till the fall?
How weird would it be if these episodes were slightly out of order because of that?
Right, anyway. Can I get this out of the way first?
Okay, go.
Right. My next note is, and I quote, I don't have a whole lot of notes for this episode. You see, every season of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers has at least one episode that is the archetype, the paradigm, the platonic ideal of a filler episode. And this is one. They seem to break down thusly. The Rangers set up the episode premise. Rita and Zed are watching them and use the premise against the Rangers. The Rangers confront the monster that was made in the previous step. The monster gets the upper hand, which in season 3 seems to usually involve turning the Rangers into things. The Rangers retreat to get help from Zordon. The help works. The Rangers summon their Zords to fight the big monster. They win. Moral nonsense to end the episode. Oh, and in there somewhere, there's Bulk, Skull, and some Tengas. Maybe Rito.
And maybe Lieutenant Stone.
Maybe. That's literally, outside of when we get to the very final Zord fight, all my notes for this episode. Because I was just done. I was like, nope, this is a pure filler episode. I'm done.
So just to give people some idea of what did happen in this episode, you know, as Kat mentioned, the architecture class, what the project, getting people to do it. You get Squat Babu and Rito spying on the site that the community is working on. Montage!
Which I would like to point out, it was very nice to see Bulk and Skull involved in the construction and the cleaning and the gardening and getting along with the Rangers.
Yeah.
It was a good-natured getting along together.
Yeah. Rito and the Tengas attack the site after everyone leaves.
Yeah.
And then Rangers to the rescue. Rita creates a brick wall monster by accident after missing Kat. Like, she's trying to turn
Kat evil. Yeah.
Trying to turn her evil again and, like, completely misses and gets the brick wall.
That would be the uses the premise against the Rangers step of the episode.
Yep. Aisha, Adam, Tommy, and Rocky get turned into bricks.
That would be the Rangers confront the monster episode and the monster gets the upper hand step of the episode.
I will say this. This actually made me laugh really hard when I saw this in the watching. Billy goes back to fight the monster and he gets bodied hard.
But then,
like, he got an open ice shoulder in the chest,
yeah,
bodied hit. Like, yeah. I thought that was hilarious.
Yep.
Bulk and Skull walk into Billy and the monster's fight and they just like, nah, I don't like this.
Nope.
I'm out. Deuces. And then Rita makes the monster grow. Blue Shogun Zord time. This, you know, you only actually get the Blue Shogun Zord. Yeah.
So this would be the Rangers summon the Zords to fight the big monster.
Although I like the fact that it's just one Ranger.
Yeah. Again, I think this is a bit of the foreshadowing that we're seeing in season 3.
Yeah.
So I think this is supposed to be Billy's big moment before he's not a Ranger anymore.
Yeah.
As we see in Zeo.
Yep.
That and the Alien Ranger saga, because he's the one that gets grown back up.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Kat's plan to free the others works.
That would be the help works section of the steps.
And then Billy destroys the monster.
That would be the win part of the steps.
And then I actually don't really remember what the moral of the story is. It wasn't relevant enough for me to actually.
That would be the moral nonsense part of the episode.
And I didn't even write down on my notes. So that was another break in the wall.
All told, there are some very nice beats in Another Brick in the Wall. Billy getting his soloing the monster.
Yeah.
Even from its powered up form.
I still thought like I had to write the note that Billy just goes back in the fight. He just gets
bodied at first, but then he uses his brain, which is his thing.
Yeah. But it was really great to see how it went from point A to point B.
Yeah.
From getting bodied by this monster to, you know, the end battle with the Blue Shogun Sword.
There's a very nice the moment of in the montage, seeing Bulk and Skull interacting with the Rangers as equals, I dare say. Because they're all volunteering their time.
I would definitely say, because like they even said that they were assigned to be there. That was their assignment
but
for the day.
They were assigned to be there, but yet they were enjoying themselves, right?
Well, that's what I was going to get to. It's like they were assigned to be there, but instead of kind of being like, oh, well, this kind of stinks, you know, they end up making more of the best of it rather than...
And it, again, it's one of the times, much like in The episode where we first meet Adam, Rocky, and Aisha in season two.
Ninja Encounter.
After they chased after the baby, right?
Yeah.
Where they're all just sitting down and it's all the people sat at the table and Bulk and Skull are there and they're all sat there like equals, right? And this is very much Bulk and Skull being part of the group.
Yeah. I mean, they...
as someone like me who thinks, as I've voiced many times, Bulk and Skull are the only actual human beings in the show. It was so good to see that.
Well, not only that, but like, and at the same time, while they're still being like accepted and part of the group and everything,
yeah,
they were still able to also be the physical comedy,
yeah,
of the montage but too.
In that case, they weren't laughing at them. They were laughing with them. Because yeah. You could see when Bulk fell in the thing, he was laughing.
Yeah.
Right?
So it's like, it's like, you know, they were able to, they, you know, we've always had seen where like they were the physical comedy and they're always laughed at. And like, this was finally kind of like the building to that unity of like, you know, togetherness.
And another thing I'd like to point out, I remembered what the moral nonsense at the end of the episode was, because it completely undercuts that awesome moment, because Bulk and Skull arrest the mayor for trying to steal building supplies when she's got the golden shovel. And they're like, listen to this. She says she's the mayor. And Lieutenant Stone's like, that's because she is the mayor. And I'm just like, did you have to undercut that really nice moment? But anyway, on to
Chimp in Charge.
AKA a whole lot of monkey business.
Which we begin at Angel Grove High School, where Miss Appleby gives everyone their final assignment of the school year.
Notes here. Number one, this is Miss Appleby's final appearance in Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, and she only appears once in Zeo, and then she is done.
Yep.
Second of all, is this the last assignment of the year? Why are they still in class for the rest of the season? Also, why was school out two episodes ago? Also, why is Kat in the classroom? She's not supposed to be joining school until the fall. Also, didn't Bulk and Skull join the police force? What are they doing in class?
Well, they still had to go to school.
They've not done for the rest of this season.
I mean,
every time you see a classroom scene for the rest of the season, Bulk and Skull are not in it.
Mm.
So far, in fact, that they are patrolling the halls in what's the name of the episode? Let me think it up, because me and Sasha recorded this last Friday. Blah, 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 blah. It is Wizard for a Day. They are literally patrolling the hall as policemen and see Rocky going to science class to teach the science class, and they take away his books. What is going on at your school?
For the record, we've had this conversation about universities and colleges and stuff. That is not a representation of how schools really work here.
Also, why can your school year in Power Rangers just not go A to B to C to D? Why does it go A, John Madden writing on a telestrator, B?
John Madden writing. That's great. We have our new line of the season. Back at the juice bar, Ernie's noting that he's missing bananas. And we also learn that Kat has a chimp.
All right. Hold on here, right? Kat walks into Ernie's hand in hand with a chimpanzee and a nappy, or diaper for Americans. And no one, not one single person in the entire place bats an eyelid. Also, where did she get the chimpanzee? I don't care if her auntie is over lecturing in schools about or universities about teaching chimpanzee sign language. They're not just going to lend one to a high school student. Those things are in controlled laboratories. Well, you don't just get to take it out for a walk. It's not a dog. What, a wiener schnitzel? You don't just go, come on, let's go get hamburgers. It's a science experiment. Also, do you know how many permits they would need for that thing? Have you seen the paperwork?
Ben, you're missing one critical part. This is Angel Grove. They have seen Rita, Lord Zedd, Goldar, Squat, Babu, Scorpina, Rito, hundreds of monsters, putties, putties, tangas.
It doesn't matter.
Do you really think they're going to look at a monk, at a chimpanzee, at a diver and go, where the hell did that thing come from?
What is it, hand in hand with one of the most beautiful girls in school? Yes. Even all the stuff they've seen, they're more than likely going to go, okay, which one of our friends has become a chimp? Also, I'm convinced that's one of the chimps they use to represent either Bulk or Skull in a later season.
Yeah.
Also, someone on the team must have some kind of chimp fetish. Because, like, there's this episode, and then Bulk and Skull become chimps for, like, 15 episodes of one of the seasons.
Yeah.
Okay, rant off.
Okay. But anyways...
Oh, and then I have the note. Oh, and Bulk and Skull are police again now.
But Ernie does mention that, you know, bananas are missing. We all assume...
Ernie doesn't even turn around and go, look, a walking health code violation in my bar.
And Bulk and Skull are on the case to investigate the missing bananas, which actually puts them on a little bit of a funny adventure a little bit.
It does, yeah.
You know, it takes them to like a Jamaican fruit stand.
Which I would like to point out, casual 90s racism.
Pretty much.
There's a cool moment where Bulk is standing on the floor and Skull is hanging upside down from a tree. And he does like a flip to get out of the tree. And it's a completely improvised moment. Bulk goes, oh, dude, that was cool. And Skull's like, thanks, buddy. It's a great moment.
Yeah. Bulk and Skull do actually capture the chimp. However, Lord Zedd sends Finster to turn the chimp into a monster, but is unable to.
So this is before they capture the chimp, right?
Yeah. I think it's somewhere like in there.
So what happens, the order of things goes is the chimp is at the restaurant. They go walking with the chimp in the park. They're attacked by the Tengas and Finster. Then they go home and then Bulk and Skull get the chimp. And that's when the chimp meets the fruit seller. And then the fruit seller dresses the chimp up. And that's when the chimp gets turned into the sinister simian.
Yeah, because... Finster is actually sent down to turn the chimp into a monster.
Yes.
However, he is unable to because that's not really how he works.
He's just a very bad shot.
Yeah. And so then Zedd just goes, well, I'll just do it myself then, and just turns the chimpanzee into a monster, which
makes me wonder why that wasn't plan A.
Yeah, because like we know that, here's the thing, Finster is a craftsman. He is a sculptor. He is an artist. That is Finster. Finster is an artist. You can't just send him down to turn some random thing into a monster because that's not how he works. He has to craft it.
Yeah, for that, you should be sending Rita or Goldar.
Yeah. Or even send Babu, because Babu's like a chemist and he creates potions and spells.
Right, but what I'm saying is like Rita and Goldar are the warriors, so they can have the better aim, right?
But Babu has had some success in the past.
That's true.
Yeah. Squat is just Squat, you know? But the Rangers then morph into action to take on the monkey monster.
Well, I just want to go back again to when they're attacked by the Tengas in the park.
Yeah.
I again have to say, every time it happens, the Ninja Rangers are the highlight of season three on the Ranger side of things. I need to say that every time it happens.
Well, not only that, but also, and I didn't want to touch base on this, but like when we get these Ninja Ranger battles with the Tengas, you got to give it up to the Tengas too.
Yeah.
Because they actually have, unlike the Z Putties and the Putties before, the Tengas actually have a personality.
They have a personality, but they are dumb as bricks.
Yeah, they're dumb as bricks. Although there have been certain Tengas that have light bulb moments.
There's a moment again in Wizard for a Day, where during the Teacher for a Day thing, where the teacher dresses like Rocky and Rocky dresses like the teacher, the Tengas are sent down to attack Rocky, who's like 10 feet down the road. But they attack the teacher because he's wearing Rocky's clothes. They are dumb as bricks.
But they have a personality.
They do have a personality. And to quote Pulp Fiction, personality goes a long way.
Yeah. And I'm not going to lie. The personality that these Tengas actually have, like, they'll be getting beat up and they'll be like, you know what? No, this ain't worth it.
It ain't worth it. I'm out.
I'm out. You know, deuces.
And then after they get attacked by the Tengas and stuff, Tommy stands and goes, I can't imagine what Zed and Rita would want with Kelly. What do you think they want with Kelly? What do they always want to do with your stuff? Turn it into a monster so it can kill you. And then they go back to Aisha's and they're trying to teach Kelly sign language. And Kelly's holding a book about sign language. And it's got a front cover and then the back cover is an exact duplicate of the front cover, but upside down. Who printed this book?
Hey, man. Anyway.
Then we get to the fruit seller.
Yeah.
Who just so happens to have monkey-sized clothes with him. Who knew?
Who knew? So Zed turns the chimp into a monster. The Rangers morph into action. And because they know that the chimp, like, they're because they're looking for the chimp. They have that suspicion that it's Kelly. So,
oh, no, they know it's Kelly. They watch it happen.
Yeah. And so Billy gets a fur sample to study to see what they can do to reverse Zed's spell.
Yeah.
And it's actually one of the interesting things where they go into the Shogun Zord time.
Yep.
I was leading that up.
So we have Zords called at 15 minutes and 36 seconds.
Yeah. And the interesting thing about this Shogun Zord battle is that it's not actually about winning.
Yeah.
It's actually about stalling and giving Zordon time.
No, so it's getting Billy the right shot.
Yeah, Billy the
fight on the ground was about stalling to give Billy time to make the mixture.
Yeah, and then like the Shogun Zord was really just kind of like to contain the monster so Billy could use his
Nerf rocket.
Yeah, his Nerf rocket to undo Zed's spell.
So a couple of things. The Zord fight was cool, right? I like it when the Zords fight uncombined, and it is a really unique Zord fight because, again, like you said, it's not about winning. But there is a moment where Billy says he needs to inject the formula, quote, close to the heart where the memories are kept, unquote. No, the memories are not kept in the heart. They are kept in the hippocampus, in the temporal lobe of the brain. And Billy, being a genius, would know that. That is not how science works, Billy.
It's about those heartfelt moments, man. It's about those heartfelt.
No, memories are kept in the brain. Also, I have a small question.
Because it's, have a small
it's
answer.
Never it's never established. Is Kat living with Aisha like Kim did? Because whenever you see them together, they're at Aisha's house.
I'm going to assume so, because I could just see Aisha off screen going up to her parents and be like, yo, Kim's going away for the gymnastics
thing. Because we never hear about Kat's parents.
Yeah.
We know her auntie's in town or something, but she never spends any time with her.
But my assumption is that maybe Aisha, again, off screen, went up to her parents and was like, Kim went away, but this is Kat. She's actually, you know, the foreign exchange student. Can she stay
here?
That's the only thing that would make sense to me.
Yeah. And like I said, it's a really nice Zord fight. Nice and unique. Billy eventually gets the shot that he needs. And then we have more moral nonsense during the episode.
Yep. Thumbs up.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was a chimp in charge.
Yeah. I know I went a bit ranty on that one, but it was about time.
It was due.
I went the whole episode without ranting before then. I've gone several episodes without a rant at this point, I think. At least in the recording order.
The streak has been broken. Damn it.
No, I was due. I've been saving up for that one.
Oh, okay. So purposeful break.
Yeah. I knew that was coming, and I was just...
You just saved it for when I came back.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
You have to have my rant, right? Like, yeah.
It wouldn't be
you and I making a couple of episodes together. There wasn't at least one rant.
Yeah.
And at least three. That's not how science works. And there were at least three among the two episodes we recorded this evening.
Hey, what time did Adam Park appear in this episode?
That was last season, Mike. But so yeah, overall, again, this is the introduction of Kit Kat as the Pink Ranger, right? These three episodes.
Pretty much.
But really only Rita's Peter. Really only Rita's Peter does that. When she's like, ooh, these powers are great. And she's learning how to use them.
I mean, a break in the wall, you can kind of give it because they try giving her an interest.
Well, it's very much a Kim, a Kat-centric episode, sure. But she's already kind of familiar with her powers at that point, right? But they do definitely sort of pull that interest out of their bum, because next season her interest will be dancing and diving. And swimming, right? So
but that was already established though, and
yeah,
Different Shade of Pink with the whole diving and swimming stuff. So at least we know that that's actually in her background.
Yeah,
but the thing
they have her do here is just, it's another one of those goody things, because it's helping the homeless, right?
Yeah. But I mean, I think at the same time, because like now this is the second episode post A Different Shade of Pink. You know, you have
the wall, right?
Yeah. What?
Yeah. For Brick in the Wall.
Okay. Yeah, Brick in the Wall. It's like the second episode after the events of Different Shade of Pink. You know, you have to kind of like, okay, Rita's PETA, you had Kat hear the planning by Rita as a residual from the spell. And then in another Brick in the Wall, you know, it's Rita now really kind of targeting Kat and what she's doing because of her becoming a goody two-shoe. So it's like, you kind of look at it from that perspective. It's like, okay, there's a little bit of, you know, like, yeah, sure, this interest may go away real quick.
It's kind of like when Tommy got away from them, like, we're obsessed with Tommy, right? Yeah. And then Kat gets away, and like, they try to kill her in another Brick in the Wall, and they screw with her chimp in A Chimp in Charge.
And then they do other things to her later down the road too. You know, there's other stuff that does happen as well.
Yeah.
That we'll get to in a few episodes.
Yeah.
But it's like that obsession. They need, like, first they obsessed over Tommy, now they have to obsess over Kat.
Yeah, and who better to obsess over than the two people that will be forced together in a completely loveless relationship that makes no sense and has no chemistry whatsoever.
Yep.
Still bitter about Dino Thunder. where were we?
Social medias.
Ah, yes. You can find me on Twitter
at Bob T. Goldfish.
You can find me, my good friend Jordan, Mr. NNJ Johnson, who is a friend of the channel and also secretly the voice of the narrator in our recorded intros. And my wife doing the video gaming thing on Twitch at
twitch.tv/321_TV.
Then you can find this show on Twitter at
@VFTG_PR.
On the website at
txhthockey.com/VFTG.
And you can find the sister show to VFTG, Awesome Mania, which is the wrestling podcast that Mike and I do together with some of our friends, like one friend a month. And we go back and we watch old wrestling pay-per-views and sort of riff on them. And they're designed to be listened to while you're watching the pay-per-view, which is basically just an excuse for me and Mike to sit down and watch wrestling with our friends once a month over at
the website /AwesomeMania.
And I'm not going to give you the link to my Power Rangers columns because it's linked from the VFTG page. So
that says Ben's journey.
Do some work, people.
Yeah, there's a big graphic that says Ben's journey. Just click it. Just click it.
What about you, Mike? Where can people find you?
On the Twitters at the Lindenbaum 75, facebook.com/x75productions. Me crying in the fetal position, as always, on txhthockey.com. You don't physically see me doing the crying in the fetal position, but you can tell with all the articles that are coming out.
Yeah.
On the Twitchers, doing the gaming thing at twitch.tv/TheMichaelX75. So with that, awesome. Ben, take us away.
Well, it's been an interesting three episodes. We've had Tommy's landmark moment. His Rocky just wants to have fun. We've had the platonic ideal of a filler episode. And then we've had a chimp that really highlights how the writers put no thought into the school year, even though all six of their main characters are school children. But we will leave you, dear listeners, as we always do, by saying, guys, gals, and non-binary pals, in the words of the 16th president of these United States, Abraham Lincoln, be excellent to each other. Party on gender-specific honorifics.
Until our next more phenomenal episode, may the power protect you.
Peace!